B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
It's a double banger of Talkin' Rock today. First up, it's Frank Bello from Anthrax. He's out with this band called Altitudes and Attitude with David Ellison. The record drops on Friday, January 18th. We talk about things that inspire the music. Why do guys do side projects?
We have these bands we've been with forever, and we love them. And it's a great creative side to us, but there's also another side.
We even get into some Kiss talk, since Ace Frehley helped out with one of the tracks on the new record. We talk about his band Anthrax, Clash of Titans tour, as well as if he ever sees a day when Anthrax decides to hang it up.
I can tell you with great certainty, we're ready to go. We are having fun, and the band's getting along better than ever.
On the back half of the Talkin' Rock podcast, it's the Magpie Salutes' Rich Robinson. They just got back from Japan. We talk about all sorts of stuff, including their brand new record, High Water 1. High Water 2 is done and going to be out later on this year. We talk about the South and all the great rock bands that came out of it.
You know, it's cool. I mean, that's really the birthplace of rock and roll was the South.
Talk about playing cover songs, the relaxing of marijuana laws, working again with Mark Ford.
He and I have this thing, you know, this sort of connection that when the two of us play, it's something happens, you know.
That's up second. The Magpie Salutes Rich Robinson. But first, it's Frank Bello from Anthrax and Altitudes and Attitude today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
One of the things I like the most about doing a podcast is I can do whatever I want. And if I want to put two guests on, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what's going to happen today. Legendary bassist from Anthrax, Frank Bello, is up first. He's got this new project called Altitudes and Attitude with my friend David Ellison from Megadeth. We'll talk about that record coming up here in just a few minutes. And, of course, the Magpie Salutes, Rich Robinson as well, formerly from the Black Crowes and now out on tour. Touring the country, you know, we talk about that. We talk about a lot of things with Rich coming up here in just a few. As always, I do appreciate the five-star ratings. Like I've said before, we're just starting this podcast up from the ground, from scratch, after doing a different one for the past 3 years. So if you guys could be nice enough to give this five-star rating, I would appreciate that. Leave a comment, by the way, my voicemail, 248-586-2988. And of course, follow me on the socials. I'll give those out coming up later on after the interviews. In the meantime, Frank Bello's up first. Always great to talk to Frank, man. One of the nicest guys in this business. And today, no exception as well. It's Frank Bello on Talkin' Rock.
Meltdown, how are you, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. I see my friend David Ellison was just with you, huh?
He was. We were doing a lot of radio good stuff today, man.
Yeah, there you go. What kind of questions do people ask about?
How did the band start? All that stuff. It's the favorite colors. No. the great thing about this Meltdown is the excitement that's resonating right now around this record, and people are starting to hear it, and it comes out tomorrow, but a lot of people are getting first dibs on it, and I'm kind of overwhelmed with the reaction. I'm to say the least, I'm excited and stoked right now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The record's called Get It Out, and of course, I've read a bunch of interviews. You've talked about this, I'm sure, all morning long about, you know, how this was kind of a chance for you to get out some of the stuff that's happened throughout your life. And my question to you is, a lot of this stuff that you said happened, like with your father and your brother and all this stuff, happened so long ago. As how come it's taken so long to get it out, so to say?
Well, I think any victim of that kind of thing, any family victim that goes through that with their families, and in any way, abandonment is a big issue for me. It's always been. A lot of people suffer with that. There's a lot of that in the world. I live that every day, to tell you the truth. My brother's passing, I live with that every day. It doesn't leave. Mm. It never leaves you. And all I can do with a lyric is no pun intended, to get it out.
Right.
It's very cathartic. It's therapeutic. And it's honest, and all I can do is do that and just be honest about what I'm talking about, and when I guess I need to get out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I was thinking about this when I was coming in. So I grew up in a family, a real functioning family. My dad was there the whole thing. And that kind of influenced me to be with my kids all the time and do stuff. Did your father, in the way that you were affected, change the way you, or I shouldn't say change, but affect the way you take care of your kids to make sure you're going to be there for them?
Absolutely. I have a 12-year-old boy named Brandon, who I love more than life itself. He's 12 years old. I brought him to school at 7:30 this morning. That's life. I will be the best father I could, in spite of what my, you know, obviously there's a lot of anger in me. You can still hear it as I talk. In spite of what my dad did to us. And I know there's a lot of people that are like-minded like myself and just want to, you know, and do what they can to be the best person they could be. And then, look, if a song can do that, man, and make you spend more time with your kids, all good, right?
Yeah, there you go. So why do guys like you and David and stuff like that do these side projects?
You know, we have these bands we've been with forever, and we love them, and it's a great creative side to us, but there's also another side that everybody has in them, and you can relate to this also, Meltdown. It's everybody's got another part of them. This is the other side. I mean, when I go home off an Anthrax tour, I literally get in my living room, I pick up the guitar, and I start writing songs and singing them, and then I go to an open mic in New York City where I live, and I try them out. And so you're hearing what I do in my living room right now. I guess that's as easy as put.
Yeah, and it's cool because I know you've talked about this earlier today too, but Ace Frehley being on the track. Have you ever worked with Ace before?
I've jammed with Ace before a couple of times. One of my favorite times jamming with Ace was at my friend Eddie Trunk's 30th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Him and Peter Criss, which was, you gotta realize how diehard Kiss fans Dave and I are.
Right.
From when we were young. So for me to be on a stage playing Hooligan with Peter Criss, and we did a few songs with Ace, and both of them jamming, so it was us. I think it was Scott from my band playing with Ace and Peter. It was just, and actually my friend Bumblefoot. I can't tell you the amount of energy that was on that stage. For me alone, I was just so psyched, man. It was a big dream come true.
Yeah, I think Bumble may have told me about that at one point. So how do you get Ace on the record? I mean, do you call him up, text him, say, hey, got this song, looking for some guitar riffs? How do you do that?
Here's exactly how it happened, Meltdown. We were literally tracking late. I was tracking the guitars, and I stopped, and I said to Dave and Jay Rustin, our producer, and I said, you know what would be great in this lead section? Ace Frehley. And we looked at each other, and it was like one of those aha moments. How do we get this done? And it was like three little diehard Kiss fans from when we were young. It came through, and we started making calls, and we asked Ace, and he was gracious enough to do it, and I tell you, man, if you would have told the 15-year-old Frank Bello that Ace Frehley was going to be playing a lead on a song that he wrote in his lifetime, I would have never believed you. So I couldn't be more stoked. And it's quintessential Ace. When you hear this, you know it's Ace. Everybody who hears the song, they know it's Ace Frehley. We also have Mickey Black playing guitar on this also. I want to mention her name because she's a great player.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was just talking to John Five the other day, and of course you know what a huge Kiss fan he is.
Love, John. We unite in the Kissness. Yes,
that's right.
No doubt.
And there's a guy here just outside of Detroit that John says, and I haven't seen this yet, but I know the guy. It says he has maybe the biggest Kiss collection in the world.
There's a few of them that have some serious, like, I never even knew what was out there. I knew there was a lot of stuff, but man, there's stuff that I've seen from these collections that are incredible. I'm kind of jealous that I didn't get them. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
it's so cool that all that stuff, and it brings back a lot of fond memories.
Yeah, no question. So you're singing on this record and stuff, and I guess I was thinking about this earlier. It's like, so when Joey left the band back in the 90s, was there ever a chance that you might have been able to fill in or no?
You know, there's only one Joey Belladonna. The way I look at it, Anthrax is its own entity. This is stuff that I've always wanted to do on my own, and I talk about it. I do this at home a lot, but to get an armor, I think I found the right partner in Dave Ellison to make it all happen, to bounce off of him. This is a time and a place. I mean, I've always sung. I sing backgrounds with Anthrax. This is a passion of mine, and look, I feel singing is just another like instrument to like get the song out. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm any kind of virtuoso or anything like that. I just think it's another way of getting the song out of the way I want it to be heard. You know what I mean? And there's nothing better than hearing people say you have a nice voice, and I'm very humbled by that. But this is just another way to get the song out. So the rest is just, you know, cherry on top.
Well, you say there's only one Joey Belladonna, and that's true. And then John Bush came on, who was
Absolutely. Totally
different. So that's why I was asking if there was ever a chance you might have said, you know, guys, let me give this a shot.
No, you know, and it's funny with Anthrax. I've sung on B-sides. If you look deep into the Anthrax vault, I've sung on some B-sides. I did a Police song. I did a Thin Lizzy song in the past. If you look deep, we did those B-sides in the past. So I have touched it. But, you know, again, Anthrax is his own thing, and this is a completely different thing. And I love, believe me, I love my day job, and I love I love what we're doing. So this is just a lot of fun for me.
Yeah. So you got this tour, and you got these dates of this record coming out, Altitudes and Attitude coming out on tomorrow. So I guess what's going on in the Anthrax camp? I know you guys are writing and all that kind of stuff, huh?
New record. I'm starting to write and having some fun with that, and some aggressive stuff going on there, which I'm happy. We do some Slayer farewell dates in Australia and Japan coming up, and New Zealand in March. So in the meantime, we just, with this Altitudes and Attitude record, we are going to just pick and choose. Now, you know, the record's coming out and people are starting to hear it, and thankfully it's reacting well, really well. And the phones are starting to really fly off the hook here and asking about dates. And Dave and I are going to have some scheduling issues, to say the least.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's like whenever you start a project with another guy, you got to wonder if, you know, you guys are going to be able to, you know, see this to fruition because of your schedules, I imagine.
Yeah, you just have to be smart with it, and, you know, you can't forget your family. You know, you just have to really have good people working with you and know what you can do and what you can't.
Yeah, you talk about Jay Rustin, too, and he's a friend of mine, and I actually texted him earlier, but I think it's still early in California or wherever he might be in the world. I want to see if he had a good question for you, but talk about working with Jay.
Well, first, I love him. Yeah. Jay Rustin's, he's the fifth Beatle, without a doubt, in both Anthrax and Altitudes and Attitude. Mm-hmm. He's just he's the guy you can rely on. He knows sound. He's got the best ears ever. He's a bass player, for God's sake. That's all I really have to say. He's a bass player who gets it. And, you know, Jay's a good friend of mine. I trust him with everything. And I bounce off of him quite a lot in every way, specifically music. I can trust him to tell me the truth, and he's done that. And he's really nurtured me with his vocal thing, and he's really helped me out to step up to the mic. And I'm really grateful for that.
And he'll be working on the new Anthrax, too?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any timeline as far as that's concerned, or is that just you guys just starting out on that?
Yeah, you know, with Anthrax, and we don't make a timeline when it's done. It's because it has to be done the right way and written the right way. I think it's best to say it will be out within the next 2 years.
Within the next 10 years, it'll be out. Okay, yeah, great. That's awesome. Now, that's cool.
Tight.
Yeah, and then you mentioned Slayer. I wanted to ask you about this because I talked to David about this as well. You know, in my life, there was never really a tour quite like Clash of the Titans. And I was there at the beginning of my radio career, and it was pretty much the Big Four without Metallica. But that tour, that had some historic significance, didn't it?
Absolutely. Three of us getting together, just try to do that.
Yeah.
That it was a great, fond memory, just getting us together. And then remember this, Alice in Chains opened that tour.
Right, yeah.
Before anybody knew Alice in Chains and knew how great they were, and then they blew up after that because they're a great band. That was just one of the best, just for this whole metal thrash thing, that was just so cool to do. And then to come around and do it again with the Big Four, and make it with Metallica. That was Metallica doesn't need anybody, obviously. So that was just a great thing. And I hope we do it again sometime.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a killer. It's funny because I saw Scott Ian's spoken word. Did you watch any of those?
Of course, sure.
Yeah, and it was funny because the one I saw here in Detroit, somebody said, how come you guys won't do the Big Four again? And Scott said, well, there's one person holding it up, and they kind of prodded him along, and he goes, you know, it's David Ellefson. He doesn't get along with anybody.
That's a good line.
I told David that last time I saw him in Niagara Falls a couple months ago, and he roared for that one. But, man, that Clash of the Titans was so killer, and I remember Jerry Cantrell telling me one time that was kind of where they earned their bones. You talk about Alice in Chains, man, that was a tough build to open up for a band that nobody had ever really heard of.
Absolutely. And then, you know what? And they put it in Lane Staley, God rest his soul. He put it every night, and those guys went out there and kicked ass every night. They really did. And people got it. After a while, people understood they were going to stand there and just kick ass. And they did. You know, that was just a great tour. I mean, Jerry and I went fishing. One of my most fond memories of that tour. Jerry and I would go fishing just about every day, every other day. getting up early and going fishing to different fishing spots and that. So I really love that tour.
Now, speaking of Slayer's final tour, and you guys are, of course, playing on some of the dates, have you thought about maybe the end of Anthrax, or is that just like something that's, doesn't even cross your mind?
Not even in the radar. Here's why.
Right.
The last two records have been taken so well,
right,
and people are reacting so well. And you have an angry band there. We are some angry mothers, you know what I mean? We're some angry people. There's a lot of energy going on. I can tell you with great certainty, we're ready to go. We are having fun, and the band's getting along better than ever. And we're just having a raging time. And I'm really excited to see what comes up next for Anthrax.
And how many times are you going to try to check out Kiss on this final tour?
Well, I can't afford to go, but I will try to go. The funny thing is I'm always on tour.
Right.
So if it matches up, great. It's like most of the shows that I'd like to see. But they have to play some songs that I want to see. That's the truth.
Now, I saw that their Reunited tour here in Detroit in 1996 when they reformed, put the Kiss makeup back on. Man, that was awesome. As a matter of fact, Alice in Chains opened up for that one, too.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, just to have them, all four of them back like that when they were on that tour, that was just an incredible thing.
Yeah, Jerry Cantrell told me that everyone was painted in, Gene and Paul and whatnot, and Lane looked over at him, I guess, during the show and says, "How come no one's dressed like us?"
That's great. That's a great line.
It was a super funny line. So, hey, well, listen, Frank, good luck in the Altitudes and Attitude record, and of course, with Anthrax and everything you got going on here in 2019, and my good friend Tim McClinchy says hello.
Of course. I love Tim. Hey, Meltdown, thank you so much for having me.
All right, Frank. Thanks, man. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thanks, bro.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
One down, one to go. It's so funny to hear Frank Bello talk about how Anthrax is such an angry band. They're some of the nicest guys. I mean, I know Scotty in a little bit. I've been around Frank a few times. He's like one of the nicest, smiling, friendliest guys that I've had to deal with in this business. Taking pictures of people and just a super good dude. So how angry they are? Well, I guess in their music, I suppose. But as far as people, not. Don't let them fool you. Hey, up next, it's Rich Robinson from the Magpie Salute. Their new record is out. It's been out for several months. Highwater 1, Highwater 2 is coming out later on this year. We talk about that. And a ton more with Rich Robinson today on Talkin' Rock. Hey, Rich, is that you?
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Hey, good, man. Good to hear your voice. How's things with you?
Good. We just are in the desert now in California.
Is that right? Yeah, I see you got a day off or something. Yeah, you guys just got back from Japan, didn't you?
Yep, we were over in Tokyo and Osaka.
Yeah. You've been over there quite a few times?
Over the years, probably about 10 times.
Yeah. I was wondering how your music and stuff translates over there. I mean, I've never been over there, so does it just translate the same as you'd think it was, or is there something that goes on with it?
I mean, I think, people really like it, I mean, people listen. And they're very attuned to what's happening, musically, which is cool,
Yeah.
They've always been very receptive, which has been great.
Yeah. Outside the U.S., where do you think your kind of music really lives?
I mean, I think it's pretty much everywhere, It's, we just, before Japan, we were in Europe for 6 weeks, had great shows in Spain and Holland and England and where else do we go? France and Italy I don't know, a couple other countries. we were over there for a while, but it's always done really well. It's always been great. We've always been able to pretty much, with the Crows, we were able to tour all over the world. And with this thing, we're really opening it up, the Crows' first platinum record was in New Zealand, so we've been going everywhere. 1990, so we've been, you know, able to go everywhere, really.
Yeah, I was there when you guys first broke. I was playing all those songs off that first record on the radio way back in the early 90s.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool to, you know, I was thinking about this earlier today. It's like some of the bands that came out of your neck of the woods. I mean, like, tell me some of the bands that came out with you around the Black Crowes. I'm thinking like maybe Driving and Crying. There was a lot of bands that came out of that southern area, wasn't there? That some of them aren't even around anymore. But even bands like REM and stuff, Jackal and all sorts of bands.
Well, yeah, I mean, for us, there was REM and the B-52s. I mean, they came out of Athens. There was a ton of bands that came out at that time, you know, but also even further back, I mean, more historically, bands like the Allman Brothers, you had Graham Parsons, you had Otis Redding, you had Little Richard. I mean, you know, it's a pretty deep, tradition and pretty broad spectrum of what kind of music came out of there, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about that because that song, Send Me an Omen, reminds me so much of a Blackberry Smoke song. And I remember talking to Charlie one time, and he was telling me how he had met the guys from Buck Cherry, I think Keith Nelson or something, way back in the 90s. And I was thinking about that. It's like, yeah, back in the 90s, there was a lot of those just straight-ahead rock bands coming out of that area.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's cool. I mean, that's really the birthplace of rock and roll was the South, you know. And so that's a, you know, following along those lines, those traditional lines, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're here in Detroit, obviously. Detroit has a pretty rich musical heritage. Does any of it play on you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Detroit, man, you know, a ton of great bands came out of there. You know, the MC5 and the Stooges, and even later with Jack White, and you know, so yeah, I mean, it's steeped in that tradition as well, you know.
Mm. Now the record is out, Highwater 1, Highwater 2. Does that come out this summer?
Yeah, Highwater 2 is coming out this summer. We had recorded everything in one session. We had about 30 songs, and you know, we're just mixing it right now.
Okay, I thought it was finished, but I mean, I guess it is finished, so to speak. But do you ever go back and kind of tweak things, or you just kind of let it sit?
No, we recorded everything, but yeah, then, you know, now it's time to sort of focus on what's going to be on Highwater 2. You know, we have a lot of stuff to sift through and really figure out what it's going to be, you know.
Yeah. Now, I remember back in the day, like, I think Rudy Zarza was telling me that they recorded Ozzy's first two solo records kind of really close to each other within a couple months, and both those albums sound so different. Is this what Highwater 2 will bring, or is it going to be kind of like just a continuation of Highwater 1?
I mean, it, you know, it was recorded in the same studio, so it's a little bit sonically, it's going to be similar. You know, it was meant to be a double album, but we had so much material, we would have had to put out like three, you know, a triple album. And so we sort of skipped it and decided to put one record out and introduce people to what we're doing and then put out a second record and go and do it that way.
Yeah. How excited are you to get that one out?
Oh, it's going to be great. We're really excited about it.
Yeah. Now, I know that in the set and stuff, you do some cover songs and stuff too, right?
Well, yeah, we've always played covers, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we get to play some Small Faces to some, you know, Stones to big bands like Big Star that are our favorite bands growing up. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can't even remember really. We pull from about 200 songs, that we do. And, that includes, you know, Crowes songs and my song, you know, songs that I wrote for the Crowes and, you know, Magpie songs and cover songs and sometimes solo songs.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Whenever I say I'm going to be talking to you, people always bring up Mark Ford. How much fun is it to have been touring the world with him the last few years?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, he's a great player. He and I have this thing, you know, this sort of connection that when the two of us play, it's something happens, you know, and it's what happened on Southern Harmony and America and Three Snakes and that still exists today.
Yeah. And the writing process and everything, huh?
The writing process was, you know, this time, I mean, the Crowes, it was just me and my brother wrote all the songs.
Right, right.
This band, you know, bringing Mark and John into the fold has been really cool.
Yeah. Last time I talked to you, we talked about Eddie Harsh because, you know, he was from here and stuff. And I was just looking through some stuff here in Wikipedia, and then his name came up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, Eddie. Man.
Yeah, he passed away, you know, right after we put this thing together. And, it, you know, it was a shock, and we were all really bummed. But he was the most excited about it, you know. I mean, and he was such a great player, and it was just one of those things that was pretty, you know, it's just really unfortunate, you know.
Yeah.
He was a great person.
Yeah, the keyboards on this record sound killer. It's like, you know, it's that typical Southern rock keyboard sound, you know?
Well, you know, Matt Slocum, our keyboard player, played with John McLaughlin. He played with Susan Tedeschi. He played with, who else? He played with Colonel Bruce Hampton. You know, he kind of grew up and he brought all of that to us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, I was looking at your tour schedule, by the way, and you guys do it right because you guys dip your toe in the colder weather dates, but then you get right back down to the south, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Way to do it.
You should get your manager a raise because I can't tell you the amount of bands I talk to that they're like touring Canada in February. It's like, who does that?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
getting kind of, you know, you got a tour when you got a tour, right?
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, if I had my choice, I'd be touring the warm weather dates. I'd save these kind of dates for later on in the summertime or something.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
So, hey, we're here in Michigan. I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't know where you stand in this, but what do you think of the relaxed marijuana laws and stuff that are taking place around the country?
You know, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, I think it's that the whole thing is silly and, you know, it's just really control. And I think that it's the fact that it's relaxing. I mean, you know, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. I was flipping through Netflix last night. And I happened to see the documentary about the Gallagher brothers and stuff. Is there a documentary about you and your brother out there anywhere?
No, there was one of those, you know, behind the music, you know, on VH1. But other than that, no.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't see him at Christmas or nothing, huh?
Nope, didn't see him at Christmas.
So, well, Magpie Salute comes through the Motor City here in a couple weeks, and I'll tell you what, man, I'm looking forward to the show. I got the vinyl copy with like the baby blue see through vinyl. It's killer.
Oh, cool! Yeah, that's great, man.
Yeah, do you collect records?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I think I was telling someone the other day, I got 162 new ones last year. So that was my goal is 500. But, you know, you got to stop somewhere, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get to a place, but it can be definitely addictive.
Yeah. All right, Rich. Well, listen, man, good luck on the tour. And we can't wait to hear High Water 2 as well this coming summer. And thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Rich Robinson today on the Talkin' Rock podcast. Not want to talk about his brother, Chris. I'm sure he gets asked about that all the time. So it's one of those subjects you gotta take on lightly. In the meantime, follow me up on the socials at MeltdownWRIF. You can follow the show at Talkin' Rock with one. And Al Beck is usually here, but he had to blast out saying since we've got the two interviews, I thought we would just put this up. I told you guys last week that Neil Morris, I talked to him, man, great guitar player, awesome guitar player. As a matter of fact, I've got him coming up next week. Ripper Owens is supposed to be coming up on the show, as well as maybe possibly Troy from Tesla. So we have a lot of guests still to come. If you get a chance, subscribe, follow back. We're constantly doing interviews. And like I said earlier in the podcast, you can leave a voicemail as well at 248-586-2988. Thank you guys for that. And thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.